Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, whatever else I can think of. Merry Christmas in my world, everybody. Welcome back to this week's Why Fish Radio. Brad, how you doing this Christmas week?
I'm definitely, I'm just about done with my Christmas shopping, so there's light at the end of the tunnel on that front. Here in the Northland, it's still kind of hard to get into the Christmas spirit because the weather just doesn't seem like Christmas. It's more like maybe late October, early November. It's looking like a brown Christmas, at least right here. The good news in all of this, though, is that ice conditions are not too bad. We had some cold weather in December, got things off to a good start, and even though it's not looking too white on the ground right now, it's really business as usual on the ice front.
Well, we got lucky we had the cold weather earlier this month and late November to get the ice at least started and the base down. I hear they're starting to drive out on Devil's Lake all of a sudden, so that must be about 14 inches or so. And
that's what I'm hearing, too. I heard 12 to 14 inches in the Back Bay is even thicker, and the good news over there that I'm hearing, and I'm sure you've probably heard the same reports, is that there's a pretty good walleye bite going on, especially before dark. More perch showing up this year, which, of course, is really encouraging to see. And, you know, the perennial pike, they're usually pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a walleye bite in the morning, but I'll never know about that one.
Well, that morning stuff, you don't want to get out there too early. You know, you got to kind of take things slow and get the cup of coffee going and, you know, take your time with this whole thing. You're there to relax. You don't need to be out there at the crack of dawn. That's my motto in all things in life.
So I understand you were back up north on Lake of the Woods again. I heard the story, but I guess I'll let you tell the funny part of it.
Well, yes, we made a return trip to Lake of the Woods. Went up Sunday morning, and we're there through Tuesday forenoon. We stayed in a couple of sleeper houses out of a place called Lion Sleepers. There's a gentleman by the name of Tim Lyon that has, I think he's got 9 sleeper houses out on the ice, and then he's got 4 or 5 satellite houses, you know, kind of day houses that you can go to fish in for the day if you just want to get away from the folks that you're normally fishing with in the other house and just kind of spread out a little bit. And overall, the trip was pretty good. Sunday started out real slow. I mean, the fishing that whole day was very poor. It was probably a combination of the weather. It was, you know, the same kind of deal as when we'd been there the week before. Weather went from good to not so good overnight, and we had a stiff wind and a cold front kind of thing going through. But he had the houses set up on some rocks in about 19 feet of water, and, you know, the fish just weren't there. We marked very few fish. So first thing Monday morning, he hooked up the old bombardier to the fish houses, and we took a little ride and moved him out about a half a mile from where we'd been, set him up out on the mud in about 22 feet of water, and things took a change for the better just about immediately. Nice mix of walleyes and saugers. Again, it seemed like the best action was mornings and evenings, kind of a lull in the middle of the day. But a couple of highlights on this trip, and they both involved fish that had nothing to do with walleye. The one in my case was I hooked a very fine eel pout, a specimen that would make any pout lover proud. I'm guessing probably 8-9 pounds, and to watch that thing on the Bexlar when it came up and hit the chubby darter I'd put on the line for the second weekend in a row after dissing them seriously for the past couple of years before that. But watching it come up and hit that chubby darter was just amazing.
You're getting to be pretty sold on those chubby darters here the last couple of weeks, aren't you?
Well, I get sold on lures that catch me fish, and for some reason, all of a sudden, that thing has decided to work for me. I don't know if I'm holding my tongue different or what the deal is, but it has. It's worked out pretty well. So, you know, got that nice eel pout, and that was great fun. But you know, the big fish honors has to go to another gentleman in our group. On the trip over, he lives in Keewatin, Minnesota, on the Iron Range. And on the trip over, he had mentioned he'd like to catch a sturgeon. Well, about 4:30 Monday afternoon, he got his chance. The bobber went down. He waited, you know, set the hook, and pretty soon he just felt heavy weight on the end of the line. And the next thing you know, every other line in the house was just tangled up. But long story short, he ended up battling that fish for an hour and a half. Finally, they got it up through the hole. It was a 45-inch sturgeon, which, you know, I'm sure would have weighed 20 pounds, probably a little better. But that's a pretty darn big fish to bring through a hole in the ice on a little ice fishing rod with 6-pound test line. And it just hit a jig and a minnow. And, I mean, you know, they say sturgeon are bottom feeders, but they can't be exclusively bottom feeders because, you know, the jig was up a few inches off the bottom. So the sturgeon decided it had a nice little snack there, and it was pretty cool. You know, I want to catch one of those fish through the ice myself. I've had them on. I've never landed one myself. I just ran out of patience, but he just took his time, played it cool, and of course everybody that was there was coaxing him and giving him all kinds of advice, you know, whether he needed it or not.
Did you get to see gold on his reel?
Well, no, we never did see that, so it wasn't quite as impressive that way. But I tell you that, you know, that talking about the 59-inch sturgeon that I had hooked in the tail in the spring of 2005, if that would have happened through a hole in the ice, I think the whole rod and everything would have just taken off down the hole.
Probably would have sucked the house and the guy down the hole, too.
And I think, I mean, it would have to be a very carefully deal as far as how you land those fish through the ice, just because of the way they're built. You know, that mouth built pretty far back, or, you know, the pretty back, far back on the snout. So even getting them steered up the hole isn't necessarily all that easy.
Probably easier through 12, 14 inches than it is through 36 to 40 inches,
I
would guess.
Yeah, if this would have been a late winter situation, I mean, sure, people land these fish, but, you know, to bring it up through an 8-inch hole in the ice, that would have been a very, very challenging proposition. And it was bad enough as it was, but it's a good thing to see that he was able to land that fish after, you know, investing that kind of time in it. So that was great fun.
Well, I suppose with the warm weather, we should mention ice safety. We did it, I believe, this time last year. You know, I'd hate to have your Christmas ruined by dumping your pickup or your ATV, or more importantly, yourself, through the ice. I saw a picture from the Minneapolis area last week. A guy pushed out his permanent shack, and within about an hour, it was floating. Those make big bobbers.
Yeah, they certainly do, and they're very hard bobbers to get out of the ice, and it's just a big pain. But, you know, as you mentioned, that's nothing compared to the, you know, the danger of actually falling through yourself. And it's not worth taking any chances. You know, these are only fish we're talking about. Winter is still very young. I mean, sure, everybody's excited to get out there, and, you know, you have the mythical early ice bite about, you know, how it's the best time of the year to be catching fish. And, you know, there's no doubt there's a lot of good reports right now, but it's certainly not worth taking chances. So, you know, folks, take it slow, take it easy, and take it safe.
That is words to live by. And if somebody tells you it's safe, still don't believe them. I mean, I was laughing yesterday talking to a guy. I said, it's got to be 20 inches of ice before my pickup comes out, because it'd be my luck. I'd find the spot of 10 if I didn't wait that long.
Well, that's the whole thing. And it doesn't take much to create a problem for you. It might be 12 inches, might be 14 inches most spots, but there's a little funky area. I mean, maybe there's a spring there. Who knows? But there can be a little area of weaker ice, and you find that little area of weaker ice, and down you go. And that's not fun.
Well, I don't want to have to pay $5,000 to have a truck brought up through there. Plus, I kind of like scooting around on ATV. It's easy. It's simple. You can get into places you normally can't get. Plus, there's just something to be said for not lifting those heavy ice houses up into the back of the truck all the time.
Oh, there's a lot to be said for that. You know, especially in a situation like your place at Devil's Lake, where you have relatively close access to the water. You hook up the ATV, throw that Frable on the back, either the old one or that big Castle we have to get out and use one of these days. But either way, you've got your gear there, you're self-contained, and away you go. You know, quick and easy, and you have a lot of mobility once you get out on the ice, too, and it's certainly a safer way to go. You know, why bother with the hassle of taking the truck? Like you say, you know, that loading and unloading, that gets to be a real pain.
Where the truck does come in handy is 40 below in the middle of January, but right now it's a whopping 30 degrees outside and the sun's shining, so there's no problem scooting across the lake with an ATV.
I should probably mention, too, that I seem to have finally gotten all of my gear in order. I found a couple of things I had been looking for. I was looking for a new pair of ice, or my old ice picks. Finally just gave up and went out and bought a new pair the other day. And lo and behold, don't you suppose, Sunday morning I was looking through an old Rubbermaid tote. Sure enough, there they were, exactly where I had left them. And
we
as soon as I opened that lid,
happen.
I knew they were going to be there. So.
We knew that was going to happen. That was sure to happen.
So I've got two pair now, so any way you look at it, next fall I'm going to be in good shape. I think I'll take that one pair and maybe just put them up in the cupboard or somewhere where I know I won't lose them. You know, hang them on the wall in the house as a decoration, something, so I don't have to be looking for them.
You'll miss it. You'll look right at it about six times and I can't find those darn things.
Well, then I'll have three pair, and then the year after that I'll be in good shape. But either way, it's taken a while. I've got my stuff, and the only thing I'd really like to see now is some snow so we could get those snowmobiles off the trailer.
Oh, the Barbie Dream Sled is calling me. It wants to have its initial run, and it looks so lonely sitting on your trailer.
Yeah, so does my teal blue trail deluxe. They look pretty good on that trailer. They make for kind of a nice pastel set, but
they look just like husband and wife.
But we should probably get our names painted on them or something and jazz them up a little bit. But they are lonely. They're tuned up and ready to go. So, you know, hopefully one of these days we will get some snow, and then look out.
Well, any big trips this weekend? I know it's the Christmas holiday, kind of throws a monkey wrench into things, you know, with dinners and church and all that fun stuff that we all have to do.
It does. I think I might try to sneak out on a local watering hole here yet on Saturday. Heading back up to Lake of the Woods, actually, either Christmas Day or the morning of the 26th. A good friend of mine is going to be up there, has a cabin up there for the better part of a week, and we'll probably sneak out on the ice a little bit on Tuesday the 26th and just see what happens. So that's in the cards, and you know, we're still kind of looking at what's happening up north to see if we can't squeeze a trip into Selkirk. And I understand you've maybe been following that situation up there a little more.
I've been following the Cats on the Red situation. And as of last night or this morning, I can't remember which one it was, Stu from Cats on the Red said they've been getting the numbers now. But it's saugers and mostly smaller walleyes. And they said they've dropped a couple of heavier fish, but they... Obviously, that's just speculation as to what it may have been. Clarity. He keeps preaching clarity, but the numbers are starting to pick up, and it's going to happen. The only problem is, from what they tell me, it kind of stops in mid-January, and we're getting awfully close to mid-January.
That time, I mean, this prime window of opportunity has been, you know, kind of denied this time. But, you know, who knows what's going to be happening out on Lake Winnipeg itself. Of course, that's the place to be in March, and it seems to have a pretty proven track record. So, you know, don't count out the Red up there just yet. It's, you know, there's a justified reputation for big fish up there, and I think it's just one of those things. It's going to turn the corner here eventually, and, you know, when it does, look out.
That's going to be just like the catfish by the looks of it. You know, tough all summer, and then bang, they just appear, and there they are for the taking. And a lot of people ended up missing out on that. And, you know, it just appears to be shaping up that way. That, you know, one day here near the clarity is going to be there and big fish are just going to move in. It just seems to be shaping up that way.
It is amazing what a factor that water clarity does have on the bite. Because, I mean, we've seen it on Lake of the Woods. It was a case there last year. The lake had muddied up before freeze up. And the water clarity was basically, you couldn't see to the bottom of the hole. And, I mean, it just made the fishing so tough. You see the same thing on the Rainy River in the spring. That hot open water walleye bite will go south in a hurry. And, you know, it's no different on the Red. Even though the water there is fairly turbid throughout the season, it does normally clear up some under the ice. So it's a factor. There's no doubt about it. So hopefully things turn the corner because, you know, Stu's got everything set up for just a great winter season. The accommodations are being whipped into shape quite nicely. And he's on top of that... that fishing up there as much as anybody. And the best thing about it, he tells it like it is. I mean, he's not going to blow smoke up your... he'll tell it like it is. We'll just leave it at that. And I mean, if fishing is slow, that's pretty much what he says. And I think, you know, it's maybe cost him a little business right now, but I think it will serve him well in the long run. There's a lot to be said for a good fishing report.
That's right. I think we're going to cut it off a little short today. You know, we got the holidays. Everybody else has better things to do than listen to us muck it up here. But we'll be back next week. I'm going to be in Devil's Lake. I've got a tentative appointment set for a pretty cool interview for next week. I won't tell you who it is just in case it falls through. But everybody have a good Christmas, and we'll see you next week on this end.
That sounds great. Merry Christmas to you and to all of you listeners out there in Cyberland. So for now, that wraps up this week's edition of Whyfish Radio. Keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Whyfish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.